Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Riot Saints, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1: The Arrival of Sister Mercy. The iron gates of Blackwood Penitentiary groaned as they swung open, their rusted hinges screaming like tortured souls. Beyond them, the prison loomed, a concrete fortress of misery and violence. Its walls, thick and scarred from decades of riots and failed escapes, stood beneath a gray sky that never seemed to let in enough light. Inside, the air was thick with the stench of sweat, rot, and desperation. It clung to the walls like old blood, soaked deep into the foundation of a place meant to break men. From the barred windows, shadows moved, inmates watching, their sunken eyes tracking the arrival of the outsider. She was not supposed to be here. A woman. A nun. Sister Mercy stepped through the checkpoint, her habit flowing around her like a specter gliding through the wreckage of the damned. Her face was serene, her features delicate, porcelain skin, lips pressed into something that might have once been a smile, eyes like polished obsidian. Cold. Unreadable. Officer Grady leaned against the desk, arms crossed, eyes squinting. He was a thick-necked man with a face that looked like it had been carved from meat and bad decisions. He had seen everything Blackwood had to offer. Killers, rapists, men who had eaten their own sins until nothing human remained inside them. But this? A nun. He scoffed, looking her up and down. You lost, sister? He asked, his voice edged with exhaustion. Sister Mercy didn't flinch. She merely tilted her head, her fingers idly caressing the silver rosary that hung from her wrist. The beads gleamed under the fluorescent light, each one catching the dull glint of the security scanner as she stepped forward. I'm exactly where I need to be, she murmured. Grady raised an eyebrow. He wasn't sure what he had expected. A stammering woman, perhaps, a shaking voice trying to preach redemption to men who had long since forgotten what it meant to be saved. But there was something wrong about her stillness. Her certainty. Her presence. He flipped through the clipboard, skimming the paperwork the warden had signed off on. You're replacing Father McAllister, he muttered. Haven't had a nun in here before. Ain't exactly Sunday school. She didn't answer. Grady frowned but waved her through. It wasn't his job to care. The inmates noticed her the moment she entered. Eyes followed from behind the bars, some mocking, some hungry, some filled with a quiet, simmering hatred. The prison was a cage of beasts, and they could smell the change in the air. Sister Mercy walked past the cells, unfazed by the jeers and the filthy propositions slung her way. Hey, sister, you here to cleanse my sins? One man laughed, gripping the bars with tattooed hands, his teeth yellow and jagged. She turned her head slightly, her lips parting just enough to let the words slip through like a ghost passing through flesh. No, she whispered. I'm here to prepare you. The inmate's grin faltered. He stepped back from the bars, something cold curling inside his gut. Sister Mercy continued toward the prison chapel. It was a forgotten place, tucked deep within Blackwood, its wooden pews long since splintered and abandoned. Dust coated the altar, thick and untouched. The crucifix mounted on the wall loomed overhead, its figure of Christ hanging limp, defeated. She set down the leather satchel she had carried in. The clasp clicked open, the sound sharp, deliberate. Inside, nestled between folded cloth, lay bottles of sacramental wine. Deep red. A rich, sacred color. But beneath its holy disguise, something far darker lurked. Napalm. Her hands lingered over the glass, her fingers brushing against the label that bore the insignia of purity and faith. A lie. Her lips parted as she lifted a chalice, pouring the liquid inside. It slid like silk, slow, heavy, its surface gleaming under the dim chapel light. The prisoners gathered. They had come for different reasons, some out of curiosity, some out of boredom, some because their instincts told them that something was happening. Something was coming. She turned to them, her voice soft, reverent. They call you animals, she murmured. A moment of silence. A pause before the plunge. But I see saints. She lifted the chalice. And the riot saints took their first communion. Chapter 2, The Gospel of Fire. The first sip was salvation. The second was damnation. Inside their cells, in the shadows where the guards could not hear, the prisoners drank. The sacramental wine, thick and dark as spilled blood, coated their throats, warming their stomachs with a fire that did not belong to God. It left an aftertaste, oily, bitter, unnatural. But none of them asked questions. They had all tasted poison before. This, however, was different. Sister Mercy walked between them, her hands brushing against scarred knuckles, tattooed wrists, broken fingers. She moved without fear, without hesitation, weaving through killers, thieves, rapists as though she were walking through a congregation of the righteous. Her voice was soft, a whisper carried on the stale prison air. "Faith," she murmured, touching the shoulder of a hulking man with a snake coiled around his neck in ink, "is knowing that fire will come." She moved to the next, a man with jagged scars running up his cheek, his fingers twitching against the chalice. "And fire," she whispered, "is what will set you free." The prisoners said nothing, but they felt it. Something had shifted. Something ancient. Something holy. And in the deepest, darkest part of Blackwood, the flames had already begun to spread. The first ignition. The riot didn't start with a scream. It started with a whisper. A single, deliberate act of devotion. In the dead of night, when the prison had settled into the illusion of peace, when even the guards had begun to let their vigilance slip, a single prisoner struck a match in the west wing. He did not hesitate. The first explosion shattered the silence. Flames erupted, licking up the concrete walls, ripping through bunks, mattresses, bodies. The air turned thick with smoke, a black funeral veil wrapping around the penitentiary like the fingers of a vengeful god. The second blast followed within seconds, this time in the infirmary, where cabinets of medical supplies, oxygen tanks, rubbing alcohol antiseptics, fed the fire like an unholy sacrifice. And then chaos. The alarms howled, a shrill, panicked siren of failure. Guards rushed to their posts, their boots pounding against the concrete as they scrambled to contain the inferno. Blackwood was burning, and no one knew how it had started. No one but her. Sister Mercy stood in the heart of it, untouched by the heat, the flames reflecting in her obsidian eyes. She watched as the prisoners rose. The fall of order. The fire was only the beginning. The guards, blinded by panic, barely noticed the shadows moving in the smoke. By the time they realized the prisoners were already loose, it was too late. The first guard fell before he could draw his baton. His throat opened in a red, wet smile, his body dropping into the spreading pool of firelight. The second screamed, his skull caved in by a stolen riot shield. The third begged, reaching for his radio, his voice drowned in the sounds of a new gospel. The sound of flesh meeting steel, the sound of bones snapping, the sound of judgment. And then nothing. Only the roar of fire and the whisper of footsteps moving toward the warden's office. The sermon of the damned. Warden Tobias Raines had seen riots before. He had seen inmates carve each other open over a stolen cigarette, had walked through the halls after a massacre, the walls dripping with stories written in blood. But this was different. This was planned. The alarms were failing. His radio was silent. Backup wasn't coming. He locked his office door, sweat trickling down the back of his neck. Outside, the prison was burning. He could hear the footsteps coming, slow, deliberate, unhurried. Then, through the static of his radio, a voice whispered through the speaker. "Calm. Feminine. Beautiful. Are you afraid, Warden?" He nearly dropped the radio. "Who is this?" His voice cracked. "Who the hell is this?" A soft chuckle slithered through the frequency. "You already know me," she said. A cold hand gripped his spine. The door burst open. And there she was. Sister Mercy stood in the doorway, her hands folded, her face calm. Behind her, two prisoners loomed, their hands slick with something dark and wet. The warden stumbled back, reaching for his desk drawer, his gun. He never made it. The first prisoner grabbed him by the collar and threw him to the floor. The second stomped on his wrist, snapping it like dry wood. The gun clattered away, sliding under his desk too far, too late. "Please," he gasped, his chest heaving. I can fix this. I can." Sister Mercy knelt beside him. For the first time that night, she touched him. Her fingers traced his cheek, a caress so soft, so gentle, that for a moment, it almost felt like forgiveness. Her smile was small, almost kind. "There is no fixing what's already been judged," she whispered. He screamed, but only for a moment. The blade silenced him. The baptism of Blackwood. The warden's body was dragged through the prison yard, his blood leaving a scarlet trail behind him. The flames burned higher. A cross stood at the center of the yard, built from the wreckage of the guard towers, nailed together with spikes ripped from the gates. The prisoners lifted him, nailed him to the wood. He choked, his body sagging, his face streaked with sweat, blood, and terror. Sister Mercy stood before him, her rosary swinging, her voice soft as a lullaby. "Deliver us," she whispered. The last spike was driven into his throat. His body twitched. His eyes rolled back. And then stillness. Below, the riot raged on. The gospel spreads. By the time the National Guard arrived, Blackwood was a ruin of fire and steel. The warden's head had been removed from his body, mounted on the crucifix, his mouth forced into a mockery of a grin. But Sister Mercy was gone. No body. No trace. Only whispers. Some say she burned with the prison. Others believe she walked through the flames, reborn as something greater. Either way, Blackwood was no more. And somewhere in another prison, the riot saints were waiting, ready to spread the gospel once more. And when the fire rose again, hell itself would tremble. Chapter 3, Baptism in Blood. The fire has only begun. The fire had spread far beyond the warden's office. Flames licked up the walls, black smoke curling through the vents, slithering into every corridor like a demon whispering secrets through the iron bars. The walls trembled as more explosions ruptured the prison's foundations. The power flickered, the emergency lights kicking in with a dull, pulsing red. Blackwood was no longer a prison. It was a sanctuary of destruction. The inmates had control now. They owned the halls, the cells, the walkways stained with fresh blood. The guards who had fled too late were now just bodies on the floor, their uniforms stripped, their weapons taken. And in the center of it all, Sister Mercy stood untouched. She had not run. She had not hidden. She walked through the carnage, stepping over the bodies like they were fallen disciples, her black habit streaked with red. She had delivered the word. Now her saints would carry it forward. The law of the riot. Prisons had rules. Even in the chaos, even when the locks broke and the gates failed, there were laws of violence that governed who lived and who died. And the men of Blackwood knew this better than anyone. Now that the guards were gone, only one question remained. Who would rule? The answer came in blood. The first true kill of the riot wasn't a guard. It was a prisoner. They called him Reaper. For years, he had ruled Cell Block C, his reputation carved into the ribs and skin of those who had challenged him. He was a monster in his own right, a man who had built his own twisted kingdom of fear within the walls of Blackwood. But Sister Mercy wasn't building a kingdom. She was building a religion. And there was no room for false gods. The moment Reaper tried to take control, stepping forward with a bloody shiv in hand, his skull exploded outward in a mist of red. His body collapsed, twitching as Brother Kane lowered the makeshift shotgun he had taken from a fallen guard. The silence that followed was thick, suffocating. Then Sister Mercy spoke. "You are not here to serve yourselves," she murmured, stepping over Reaper's twitching corpse. "You are here to serve the fire." No one moved. No one spoke. They only listened. She spread her arms, her voice carrying through the smoke-filled air. "You are not men anymore." A pause. "You are saints." Her hand lifted. The prisoners knelt. The riot was no longer about survival. It was about devotion. The righteous and the damned. Not all who had taken up arms in the chaos were fit to join the riot saints. Some still clung to their old ways. Men who saw the burning halls as nothing more than a chance for revenge, power, indulgence. They would not be allowed to remain among the chosen. Sister Mercy stood before the gathered inmates, her eyes passing over them, as if seeing into the very marrow of their souls. Some trembled under her gaze. Some stood tall, awaiting judgment. And then she pointed. 1, 2, 3. 10 men in total. Men who had spent the night not fighting for the cause, but turning on their own brothers, dragging those weaker into dark corners, indulging in their own selfish perversions. "You do not belong," she said. The room was silent, save for the distant screams of burning men. One of them, a thin, wiry man named Locke, sneered, stepping forward with arrogance, his blade still wet from someone else's suffering. "Who the hell do you think you are, bitch?" he spat. "This ain't a fucking church. This is a..." His words died in his throat. Sister Mercy had stepped closer in the blink of an eye. Her hand closed over his wrist, fingers like iron, unyielding. She pulled him forward, her breath warm against his ear. "Do you know what happens," she whispered, "when you drown in holy water?" Before he could answer, she twisted. His wrist snapped like a twig. His scream was brief. The shiv fell to the floor, clattering against the stone. A moment later, so did his knees. His mouth opened in agony, but no more words came. Only the sound of blood bubbling in his throat. Sister Mercy had already slit it open. She let his body collapse. Then she turned to the others. "The old rules no longer apply," she said. The weak will be made strong, but the wicked. She gestured to Locke's corpse, the blood pooling at her feet like a dark halo. The wicked will burn. The remaining 9 men were dragged into the prison yard. And there, before the entire congregation, they were offered to the flames. Their screams became hymns. Their bodies became offerings. And as the fire rose, so did the devotion of the riot saints. The new order. By dawn, Blackwood belonged to them. The prison walls still stood, but inside, the world had changed forever. The guards who had survived were either chained or had been converted, their uniforms stripped, their ranks absorbed into the new faith. The old leaders were dead. The false idols were purged. And the warden's body hung from the cross in the center of the yard, his severed head mounted above him, his dead eyes forever gazing upon the kingdom he had lost. Sister Mercy stood before her congregation, her black habit still pristine, untouched by the blood that had baptized the others. She raised her hands and silence fell. She spoke, and her voice was both a promise and a prophecy. "This is no longer a prison," she said. A pause. A whisper. "This is a church." The prisoners, the devoted, the faithful listened. And when she smiled, they knew. The gospel of fire had only just begun. Beyond Blackwood. Somewhere beyond the razor wire fences, beyond the blazing inferno, the world was waiting. Authorities would come. The government would retaliate. The world would try to smother them. But Sister Mercy was ready. She had started the fire. Now she would let it consume everything. The riot saints had been born. And soon, the world would know their gospel. Chapter 4. The Crucifixion of the Unholy. The Execution of Blackwood. The night was long, but the riot had not faded. Blackwood belonged to the riot saints now, and those who had once held power, the guards, the warden, the traitors, had been reduced to nothing more than whispers of the past. But the fire had not yet finished its work. The men who stood before Sister Mercy were those who had worn badges, wielded batons, held the keys to the cells. Once they had ruled. Now they were on their knees, stripped of their uniforms, their faces swollen with bruises, their lips split open from the judgment already delivered. The prisoners stood in a circle around them, the light of the still-burning fires casting flickering shadows across the yard. Sister Mercy stepped forward, her black habit flowing in the wind like a priestess before an altar. The warden's body still hung on the cross, his severed head watching over the congregation like a grotesque saint. The remaining guards trembled, their hands bound behind their backs, their eyes darting between the prisoners, searching for mercy they would not find. Sister Mercy knelt before them. Her fingers, delicate as a prayer, traced the cross that hung from her neck. "Once," she whispered, "you were the shepherds." She let the words sink in. "You held the whips. You made the rules." Her eyes flicked up, locking onto the terrified chief guard Reynolds, who had spent years beating prisoners without a second thought. His fear was palpable, his body shaking as he tried to find his voice. "Please," he stammered, his lip trembling. I have a family." Sister Mercy smiled. "Did you ever spare a man because of his family?" she asked, tilting her head. He didn't answer. Instead, he cried, his body racking with choked sobs, the sound pathetic and hollow against the roaring inferno behind them. Sister Mercy stood. "There is no mercy for the unholy," she declared. She turned, looking at her congregation, at the men who had been chained, beaten, caged like animals. She lifted her hand. "Deliver them." The prisoners descended upon the guards like wolves. A trial by fire. It was not a quick death. The riot saints did not believe in quick deaths. They dragged the guards to the center of the yard, where the bodies of traitors already burned, their flesh charred, their bones blackened. They were stripped naked, their backs pressed to the concrete, hands and feet tied with barbed wire ripped from the fences. The first man to die was Reynolds. They started with his hands, prying his fingers back, breaking them one by one, the bones snapping like dry twigs. His screams echoed through the penitentiary, but no one came to help him. The world outside of Blackwood had already turned its back. The second guard was dismembered, his arms and legs torn away, the blood pooling in the cracks of the yard. The third was burned alive, the fire licking up his flesh, his mouth locked in a silent scream as the flames devoured him inch by inch. Each death was a confession. Each scream was a hymn. Each drop of blood was an offering to the new order. Sister Mercy stood among them, her hands clasped, her lips moving in a silent prayer as the wails of the dying filled the night. The final sacrament. When the last of the guards lay dead, when the flames had burned away their false authority, only one prisoner remained tied to the stake. Not a guard. Not a warden. A prisoner. A man who had fought against the riot. a man who had tried to kill one of the saints. His name was Holloway. He had been a snitch, a lapdog for the guards, a man who had turned in his own people for favors and scraps of comfort. Now he knelt before Sister Mercy, his head bowed, his face already covered in blood, sweat, and tears. He looked up at her, his lips trembling, his body convulsing with terror. "Sister, please," he whispered. His voice was nothing but dust. She knelt before him, cupping his face in her hands. "You were given a choice," she murmured. "You chose wrong." She pressed her forehead against his. A moment of quiet. A moment of peace. Then, she plunged the blade into his chest. His body jerked, his mouth opening in a silent, choked gasp. She twisted the knife deeper. He collapsed. And just like that, the last of the old world died. The dawn of the saints. By morning, Blackwood was no longer a prison. The fires still smoldered, the sky black with smoke, the air thick with the stench of charred bodies. The survivors stood in the yard, the ashes of the fallen at their feet. No one spoke. They only waited. Waited for their leader. Waited for the final word. Sister Mercy stepped forward, her hands still wet with blood, her habit untouched by the chaos. She turned to her brothers, the men who had once been caged, beaten, abandoned. She raised her rosary, letting the silver beads glint under the first rays of the rising sun. And then she spoke. "This is no longer Blackwood," she said. A pause. A whisper. "This is our sanctuary." The men bowed their heads. "This is our church." The air was silent. Then, the chant began. "Riot saints! Riot saints! Riot saints!" Their voices rose together, shaking the very foundation of the prison, echoing into the world beyond the fences. And somewhere out there, beyond the walls, beyond the burning ruins, beyond the world that had forsaken them, the fire was waiting to spread. Chapter 5, The Ashes of the Saints. The Remains of Blackwood. The sun rose over Blackwood Penitentiary, its golden rays piercing through the thick black smoke that still curled into the sky. What had once been a fortress of concrete and steel was now a graveyard of ash and ruin. The fires had burned through the night, consuming the corpses of the unworthy, devouring the last remnants of the world that had once ruled these men. But not all had perished. The riot saints remained. Their bodies were streaked with blood, soot, and victory, their eyes still bright with the fire that had been kindled deep within them. They stood in the yard beneath the smoldering cross, beneath the warden's rotting head, beneath the sky that no longer looked down on prisoners, but on disciples of a new faith. Sister Mercy walked among them, her black habit flowing like the robes of a prophet, her rosary swinging with each step. She had led them through the fire. Now, she would lead them into the world beyond it. The first sermon. They gathered in the wreckage of the mess hall, their numbers reduced to only the chosen. The weak had been burned away. The unworthy had been crucified. Those who remained had proven themselves, their hands stained with the blood of the old world. Sister Mercy stood before them, atop the broken remnants of the warden's podium, the place where he had once given speeches of control, of obedience, of submission. She had turned it into a pulpit. Her voice was soft at first, but as she spoke, it rose like a storm, filling the air, seeping into their bones. "They tried to chain you." A murmur of agreement. "They tried to break you." Fists clenched. "They tried to make you forget who you were." Growls of anger rippled through the crowd. "But we are still here," she whispered, her eyes gleaming like polished obsidian. "And now we rise." She spread her arms, her hands bare, covered in the stains of holy war. "This is no longer Blackwood," she declared. "This is no longer their world." She let the words settle, let them root themselves deep. "The riot saints do not serve the old gods. We do not bow to their laws, to their chains, to their false justice." She turned, looking into the eyes of each man before her. "We serve only the fire." And then they chanted, "Riot saints! Riot saints! Riot saints!" Their voices shook the ruins, their cries sent ripples beyond the prison walls, into the world that had forgotten them. Sister Mercy raised her rosary. "Now we burn the world down." And the cheering turned to war cries. The outside world reacts. Beyond the razor wire fences, beyond the burning walls of Blackwood, the world was waking up to the nightmare it had never seen coming. The news was everywhere. Blackwood Penitentiary in flames, authorities cut off from reaching the facility. Total prison collapse, hundreds of inmates still unaccounted for. Officials fear worst prison uprising in U.S. history. The streets buzzed with speculation, fear, and panic. The government scrambled, sending in reinforcements, but the National Guard had been too late. By the time they arrived, the riot saints had already moved on. They had vanished into the world, leaving behind only ashes and legend. The saints on the move. They did not scatter. They did not run. They moved together, a congregation, a following, a prophecy in motion. They took what they needed, raiding abandoned homes, warehouses, gas stations. Some went to safe houses, long-forgotten places where criminals once hid from the law. But there was no hiding now. There was only the plan. Sister Mercy led them, her presence a guiding flame, her voice the whisper of a god only they could hear. The cities would come next. The prisons would be unlocked, their doors torn from their hinges, their inmates given the same holy choice, join or burn. "We will not be prisoners anymore," she told them. And they believed her. The new gospel. The first attack came swiftly. A small-town police station, overwhelmed in the dead of night. The officers inside never stood a chance. The riot saints moved like ghosts, slipping in through back entrances, through vents, through blind spots in security systems. The officers barely had time to grab their guns before they were silenced. Some were killed. Some were offered a choice. Only a few survived. The station burned, the flames rising like a new altar to the faith. This was not the beginning of the war. This was only the warning shot. The world had forgotten the lost souls of Blackwood. Now it would remember them forever. The future of the riot saints. The fire would spread. The world would try to fight them. But the riot saints did not fear the world. They had been baptized in its blood. Sister Mercy stood on the edge of the city, watching the skyline twinkle with false promises and old lies. The streets below were still peaceful. Unaware. Unprepared. She smiled, her fingers tightening around her rosary. "The gospel of fire will spread," she murmured. The riot saints stood behind her, waiting. Her voice rose, a final command, a final prophecy. "Let's burn their heaven to the ground." And so they did. The legend begins. By the time the government declared a national emergency, it was too late. The riot saints had already disappeared, their names whispered like curses and prayers in the same breath. Some said they were dead. Some said they had become something more than human. But somewhere in the heart of the burning world, Sister Mercy walked. And the fire followed her steps. The war had just begun. And this time, there would be no prisons left standing.